Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Cindy Sansom-Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships, and Confessions of a Reluctant Long Island Psychic. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an artist, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How was your vacation?
Everything was very, very good, Cindy.
Now,
and
remember, I told
you
we're going to love Mexico. Did you love Mexico?
Well, yeah. I mean, I've been to Mexico before, and I was not very excited to go because, honestly, you know, my sister-in-law, my brother-in-law, they were just very, very lackluster about their wedding.
Okay.
I was like, why are we even doing this? You know, like, you know, I was like, oh, you're excited? He's like, I've done this before. And she's like, yeah, I guess. Like, they've been together for, like, 7 years. You know, they live together, they own a house together, so I think that getting married was just kind of like, you know, tying up a loose end more so than like, you know, like that they wanted to really be in like the newlywed stage of their relationship. But, you know, we went down there and Lisa and I made the best of it, and we had a great time, and, you know, we had some cocktails and we sat at the beach. We went sailing, you know, and, you know, we did a whole bunch of stuff there. My mom went, and my mom also had a good time, ironically enough, even though she hates the sun, hates the beach, you know, hates all those things. But she even found a happy time there. So it was really, really nice.
And then you got to do a little snowboarding, right, too,
after
that?
Well, what happened was, I had just had a busy couple of weeks, period, because what had happened was we had that wedding in Mexico, and then we came back on that Sunday, the following Sunday, and then, you know, obviously we worked a couple of days during the week or whatever. We did take the Monday off, though, so we could get, like, a little bit of recuperation, though, you know, and then we did that. But on Thursday, last Thursday, see, back in 2019, one of my favorite bands announced that they were going on tour. So in, like, I'm going to say it was 4th of July weekend in 2019, I got tickets. And, of course, those tickets were for March 2020, and then COVID happened, and then the tour got postponed, and then it got postponed again, and then it was eventually canceled. Well, that same band went back to the same venue last Thursday, so my wife surprised me with concert tickets, because I had waited since 2019 for this show, and she finally got, you know, she got us some tickets or whatever, so we went to that show. And then that Friday, we left straight from work and went over to Camelback, and we snowboarded all weekend. So, yeah, so I went from you know, having, you know, my weekends to myself to doing nothing but running around from Mexico to, you know, to the top, to a mountaintop.
Wow. Well, that was good, and you were missed. You know, by the way, just so you know.
I missed you too, Cindy.
And
I missed you too, and I told TJ on Facebook. I told TJ on Facebook, don't go stealing my job, TJ.
It's funny. He always asks, is Nicole going to be doing it this week? Like, he's always like, oh, maybe I
could
do
it. Believe it or not, I do try to plan my stuff around the radio show. You know, like I really do. I try not to schedule anything for Thursdays. And when I do have something going on the Thursday, half the time I bring my laptop and I excuse myself for the hour. And then I just go back to doing what I was doing. So I do attempt to leave my Thursdays open. Unfortunately, these two events were just completely unavoidable.
Right. And on February 23rd, we are not going to have a radio show because my play No Rest for a Soul is in Think Fast Festival, and we couldn't coordinate a time to film it, the Zoom, for everybody except 7 o'clock on Thursday, February 23rd. That was the only date, because they just threw these at us, and they didn't realize, or maybe they should have, that the kids are off from school that week. So, you know, people are going away that week. Do you know what I mean? And so one of my, you know, the actress was, you know, got her kids. She can't, like, she has a vacation. She can't be, and you don't even want to do this when you're on vacation, because you don't know if the computer system is going to work where you are. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know. So what if you're in a hotel where it's not good? So that was the only day we could do that. But, you know, because that was the only, between my schedule, her schedule, and the other actor, it just was, and they didn't give too many times to be able to do this too. So it was like, okay, we'll have to do it that day. So that's why February 23rd, we will not be having a radio show. So just so you could plan, because maybe you need to produce something. Okay. Now, we have a lot of listeners tonight. I think it's, you know, everybody's, you know, glad that you're back. And now, first of all, before we start the show,
glad to be back.
I'm going to give everybody a homework assignment this week. And Spirit has told me, saying over and over again this year that we're going to be doing joy therapy this year. That means that everybody has to do a little bit each day that brings them strictly joy. Like, most people don't need, you know, deep psychological counseling every minute. You can only talk about the crap so much, and then you know, pull scabs off of things that are already trying to heal. So find something each day that you like to do that's just for the fear, you know, just for the sheer joy of it. Of course, it has to be a healthy something, okay? Like, you know, go for a nice healthy walk, or, you know, watch a fun show.
Be healthy.
You know, something healthy, but that brings you joy. Paint. Write, crafts, whatever it is. And if you don't have anything that you find joy in, then this year let's discover a hobby, an interest, a fun thing that we're not doing like Americans, okay, which means we have to do it really great. We have to do everything. You know, one of my clients took up golf, and she's not very good at it, and she doesn't want to do it because she's not very good at it. And I'm like, do you like it? She goes, I love it. So then do it. We don't care if you're very good at it. How are you going to be good at it when you just started anyway? So let's not take this activity to be, now I have something I have to be great at, I have to master. No, let's just find things that bring us joy in the day to balance how stressful life is. I mean, yesterday seemed to be a chaotic day for me and all my clients. It was like something was in the air that was like, every client I had to read, they're like, oh my God, everything went wrong today. And I'm like, yeah, I know the feeling. So we want to have, because life has a lot of those moments, doesn't it, where everything goes wrong and blah, blah, blah. So let's just find joy therapy. So, Nicole, I want you to tell me what you did for joy next week, okay? What you found to just do for fun, okay? And that's the assignment, okay? Doesn't that sound like a good therapy?
I like the assignment.
Okay, good. And it's really nice when you tell people joy therapy, they go, what? I go, yeah. Like, oh, you mean I could just do something for fun? I go, why not? Why not? Find something that just is your interest, your passion. How, if it's stupid, if everybody else thinks it's stupid, I don't care. Color. Coloring is nice. Get a little coloring book. Whatever it is.
You know, they have adult coloring books, too. So those are actually kind of really, really funny.
Right. And so you can have a lot of, you know, that's what I'm saying. Have a little fun here. So we're going to pick up Eric first because Eric just got a copy of Grant Me a Higher Love. You know, he's read Confession of the Reluctant Psychic. I mean, I think he's probably shocked by the sheer weight of that book. It looks like a Bible. But I'm very impressed that someone who didn't used to read has chosen to take on that book. Don't you think? That's amazing.
I'd say.
So let's see what Eric has to say. And then maybe you could screen some of our other listeners. And Nicole, please remind people what they have to do if they want to talk to us.
Yes, of course. So as usual, we don't really get a chance to screen. When you hear me say the last four digits of your phone number, that is so you know I am talking to you. If you have a question for myself or Cindy, please press the number one. This way I will get a lovely little alert that will allow me to pull you into the chat room, and then we can work on getting you on the air. So right now, Cindy, you said to go out to Eric. So we are going to go out to Eric. So obviously he knows to say hello back. But for any of you that have flown to the chat room, if you hear those ugly digits, please answer me so I'm not lonely in there. So for the time being, here we go out to Eric, and let's see how he's finding Grant Me a Higher Love. Hello, Eric. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. Now, you've also had a kind of hectic, crazy couple of weeks, too, right? So things are settling down a little bit now.
I'm sorry, what did you say? You
had a couple of hectic weeks yourself. Are things calming down in your world now a little bit?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. I think right now it's back to normal.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right, so you might have something on your mind tonight. What is it that you would like to discuss with us, share with us?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I just want to know, like, I just want, like, an update on what's going on in my love life because, you know, now I guess I would say I'm getting myself out of the comfort zone just to put myself in situations where I could hopefully find someone. But it's not really going as planned, you know?
Okay. Now, first of all, I'm glad you're a little bit trying to move on right now because you can't wait forever, okay, for your ex to get her crap together. And it looks like, you know, that relationship that she's in is, you know, still there and existing. You know, for you, if you're getting back out in the dating world, now you're reading Grant Me a Higher Love, which is going to change maybe what you're looking for in a person. And, mm-hmm. you know, part of it is like soulmate love brings up unhealed issues. And even that's why your last soulmate issues were surfacing and she chose to run away from the love rather than heal them. So all of us have childhood traumas or just past life traumas or just life is traumatic. And we need to deal with those things. And Grant Me a Higher Love is supposed to help bring any of those thoughts to surface, okay? And just starting to read the book is telling the universe you're really looking for a soulmate. Now, where are you trying to find someone? What do you do to find someone?
I've been trying to go out more, either by myself or just with friends. Or I'm on a dating app.
Okay. Now, with dating apps, it's a little hard because sometimes you feel like you're shopping for a person. and, you know, it can be a little distasteful for an older soul like yourself, one who's had a lot of lifetime. But you can meet people that way. It's possible. But it can also be a little depressing. So sometimes people aren't really looking for a relationship. I don't know what they're looking for. But you have to go with like a very discerning eye. Make sure, you know, if someone doesn't seem like they're right or something's not ringing true, it probably isn't truthful. I'll give you some little advice. Meet them sooner than later. Don't stay talking to someone for 2 months before you meet them because sometimes they're not who they say they are. Sometimes they're in a relationship. And if you feel a connection with someone, you should meet sooner than later. You know, meet in a public place. If after you've met them and they still don't want to give you their full name, they've usually got something to hide. You know, you shouldn't be, if you go on a date, be afraid to give your full name at that point. You know, you want to know who these people are, okay? It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Now, have you connected with anyone on there? Have you talked with anyone or gone out at all?
No, I haven't gone out. Like I said, I'm not really getting much luck. Like I am like talking to people. Like I am getting matches, but like out of nowhere, it's like I'm just like repeating a whole process of just being like ghosted for no reason.
Well, now welcome to our show. How many times have you heard me say how much I can't stand ghosting? Okay.
Oh yeah.
Stand it. And you probably never really understood that. People might be going, why is she always talking about ghosting? Because it's awful. Because half the time, the people that ghost you are people that have a connection with you. They're not ghosting you because they don't feel a connection, but maybe they're not looking for a higher love. So instead of feeling rejected by this, just kind of think they're just not into a higher love right now, and they feel like this could be it, and they don't want it. maybe they're already in a relationship. Maybe they know they're a son of a bitch and you're a nice person, and maybe they're just trying to save you from themselves. Okay, so, you know, that's when we say rejection is protection. But
yeah.
Anyone who ghosts is a narcissist. Okay, now, I know some people say, well, I don't care now, everybody ghosts. Like, and I'll tell my clients it's a very narcissistic thing to do. Well, I didn't feel a connection. I don't care what you feel or don't feel. You say, thank you, it was very nice talking with you, but I just don't think there's a connection. I wish you well. You're a very nice person. Like, why can't you answer? And it's just become so common that my clients, who I think are very nice people, say, yeah, I ghost sometimes. This is not good, because if you ghost, the universe sees that as very bad karma. Okay, it's very inconsiderate. So if someone ghosts you and then they reappear again, you're going to know they're commitment phobics, okay? They come back, they go, they come back. But ghosting is a very narcissistic behavior. So if someone ghosts you, look at them as being narcissists, and maybe you're being saved by a narcissist, from a narcissist. So don't take it personally, but if you're going to be online dating anybody out there, expect to be ghosted a lot. I just don't want you catching that behavior or anyone else. It is not acceptable. Okay, so just because everybody does it, that's why everybody keeps doing it now. Well, everybody does it, so why can't I do it? Just because everybody does something doesn't make it right. I mean, it happens at work. People try to, they go on 4 interviews. If people ghost them, they don't even, you know, take a second to put a text, you didn't get the job. I mean, ghosting is, you know, he was businesses. You call a business, they ghost you. I mean, it's like, huh, don't you want my business? You're ghosting me? Like, this is crazy behavior. So these are some things. It might educate you a little bit about the dating world. You know, have you written down what you're looking for? That's going to be one of the assignments in Grant Me a Higher Love. But have you written down what you're looking for?
I believe I did before the year started. I think I did it a couple of days before the new year.
Okay. You know, now, has it changed yet? Because you might keep adding to the list or changing the list, because sometimes as you're growing and turning and, you know, changing, your list might also alter. But don't let online dating make you jaded or make you, because that's the problem with it, okay? And sometimes go outside of your type, okay? Because types don't always work well with us. So maybe if it seems like a nice person but she's not your type, give it a try. You might be surprised. Mm-hmm. Okay, because if we always go after our type, after a while I'll tell people, well, how's it work for you so far? And mostly the answer is not good. So you know, look at that. Now, are you focusing on your career as well this year?
Yes. Thankfully, I think maybe like a month ago, I received in the mail, like I told you before, I'm trying to get into the New York City Plumbing Union, and thankfully I got a mail saying that I qualified for the union, and that I have to that they will give me another letter in the mail of when I can come in to start. So right now I guess I'm just on the wait list, but as of right now I have a temp job, and you know, I love it there right now. So I think everything except for love is perfect.
Okay, good. And remember, sometimes we have to learn to stand on our own 2 feet without a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
The reason for that is because then we won't tolerate things that are toxic. And if you look back on your past relationship, she was very controlling. She didn't want to give you any space. And you kept letting her kind of call all the shots, you know, and you know, so are you tired of that kind of thing? You're not going to let that happen again?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay, because you really, if you look back on it, you compromised too much on some of your core values with her. Do you realize that?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're not going to do that again. So that's why the universe wants you to stand up, you know, and, you know, stand on your own 2 feet and, you know, just be a little patient, because you might just still need to grow a little bit into it. But, you know, I keep getting the soulmate card for you, so, you know, that will happen. But don't get discouraged, you know, and don't just date to date. Like, if you're not feeling it, don't do it, because that's even more depressing. Like,
yeah.
If you've had a soulmate, it's very hard to go down the ladder of love. And when you're reading Grant Me a Higher Love, it describes love like a ladder, okay? And going down the ladder of love would be the narcissistic rung, a Tinderella, get one, throw them away, you know, just mm-hmm. use people or whatever. You're not going to be happy to play on the lower levels of love. So if you don't feel much of a connection, don't even bother. It's wasting time. And if you meet someone and you date them after like 3 or 4 dates and you really don't think it's working, don't keep dating them, because it's going to keep you from meeting someone else, and it's just kind of a waste of time.
Yeah.
You know, unless you're enjoying yourself. But if you're not enjoying yourself, let it go. But everything looks good in the future. You'll, you know, be a husband and have children, and, you know, everything looks very good. So you will message me a little bit as you're reading the book, because you might get some aha moments going, oh, yeah, that's how I feel. So, yeah, wow, that sounds really good. That sounds, you know, interesting. So it's meant to open up your soul, the book. So it's a big book. It's not meant to be read all at once. You can jump around to it. I would advise you to read the first step in the book, which is the difference between love and fear, and jump to chapter 17, which is commitment phobia, because that might be an interesting one for you to read, because you're going to be dealing with a lot of commitment phobics out there.
Yeah.
So see the signs so that you don't get hurt.
All right.
And, well, thank you for calling in tonight, and thank you for buying the book. If you ever get an Amazon and you get a minute, can you write a review? Because reviews do help sell the book. Even if you just put 5 stars and I like it or whatever, you don't have to make a big, you don't have to write a big thing if you're not comfortable with that. But just, it helps the reviews, for
all
sure.
Right, definitely will.
Okay, well, thank you, and have a very great evening.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, before we get to Kristen, because we do want to talk to Kristen, Debbie Tony has her mom on the line, and her mom just went through surgery, and maybe her mom needs to maybe hear from her husband who has passed. Maybe she needs to hear from her own mom, you know, someone who might have something to tell her, you know. So let's talk to Debbie Tony's mom.
You've got it. Hello, you're on the air.
Okay, you have to hold on. Hi, it's Debbie. Let me get you to Terry, okay? Give me one
second. Okay, we want to talk to Terry.
He's on the other line. Talking to Terry, Cindy Sansone Brass. Okay, here she is.
Can I call you back?
She's going to call him back. Aren't we lucky? Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Hold on.
Hey, Terry.
She is.
Who's this?
Cindy Sansone Brass.
Oh, how sweet.
Okay. Hi, Terry. How are you? We want you to get better and fast.
Of course, me too. The PT person said that my brain wants to do everything, but my body can't. So,
That's so frustrating, because if any you who have not been blessed to meet Debbie's mom, she's this little, beautiful ball of energy, okay? She's just filled with energy. So it must be very hard for you not to be doing everything, because that's not you.
I know I can't. Yes, I know. I know that I couldn't, so I programmed myself, you can't. And as I know, it's going to be forgotten in a little while. But when things happen that you don't know and need, wanting to know the answer to anything, like the cellulitis, and I told Debbie 2 days ago, I am very in touch with my body. I said, my tongue, Debbie said, Mom, you have the most healthiest looking tongue, not white. But it feels it. And you can get cellulitis in your tongue, too. Can you imagine? So I know what I'm saying, but people just discount it or something, or this whatever.
Well, first of all, they discount it because you're a woman, and also because you're older, and they always think we don't know what we're talking about, okay? But you are in touch with your body. You are in tune with it. So trust that, you know, you can't let, you know, doctors always poo-poo it away like it's nothing, because that's what happened. And that's why, you know, thank God you and Debbie went to the emergency room, because you realized something was wrong. you know. Yeah. So you do look like you're going to get stronger and better. Husband was a little bit haunting me all day today, and I now know why, because he probably put the little thought in your head, speak to Cindy tonight so he could tell you he's around you and near you. And he's thanking you and Debbie for how much you took care of him. He's also thanking Debbie for taking care of you right now. And that, you know, he promises that you will get better. Your mom also is coming through a little bit. Do you miss your mom, too, at times?
I think of her. I think of her a lot, yeah. And I felt that she was, she did everything, but she got depressed waiting for people to be with her. I don't want that to happen to me, please. Yeah. She's a good lady. She was really good. She was very giving. And people
very
much misunderstand. Yeah.
And Debbie, Rose, do you miss Rose, too?
I love my sister. Guess what?
Right,
I look like my sister. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yes, you
do.
And
I got
and Rose is also
my hair is pepper and salt. Huh? Yeah. Yeah.
And Ro is around you a lot, too, you know, blowing you some kisses. You're not alone. They're watching over you. And, you know, thank God Debbie was a voice piece for people, because oftentimes, you know, like you said, you know your body. And I am a real believer in that I'm the expert on my body, that you're the expert on your body. I'm the one that's lived with my body this long. And doctors don't know my body. I know it. I've been living in this body. I know what makes when I feel well. I know what you're putting in me that's not good. So, yes, if you trust your body knows what it needs, and it's telling you when something's wrong. And I'm glad that you're sticking by your guns with that.
I was so assertive today, but then I went with what he said. He was, I'm going to PT's to make my B safe, naturally. Besides my arm. So why am I doing walking up and down the stairs, rowing? And my brother and I both agree I cannot bicycle because I was born with bilateral dislocation of my hips. What it's doing is wearing my hips out. But the PT guy said, I got to do it. I got to do it. So guess what? I did it. He's wrong.
Right,
but
and that's the whole thing. Even with, say, something like yoga, which a lot of the asanas and postures are very good for people, but from the time I was very young, there are certain asanas that I can't do or they hurt my back. And I don't care what people tell me to do them. Whenever I've allowed someone to tell me to do it in a yoga class, I can't walk for a week. Okay, so I know what my body can do and what it can't do.
Me too. Yeah.
So you just have to insist that you cannot do the bicycling. Okay, because otherwise you're going to end up now with
bicycling. But it was the same idea.
Right.
Yeah, it was like putting weight on your legs, going up and down the steps, and going up and down and bending. And it was something I tried when I did the exercise class for balance, stand on one leg, stand on the other leg. But I know I'm not a raquette, and I'm not biking.
Right. So what you do is, we know our own body. So all of our listeners, take it from what Terry's telling you. You're the expert on your body. You know when something's wrong. If someone's poo-pooing it away and you know there's something wrong, well, then you go to another doctor, you get another opinion because, you know, your body does know what it needs. You know, it looks like you're going to get stronger. It's going to take a little bit of time. But you're very determined to get strong again, and that, you know, you have a good will.
I have.
But I know you're strong-willed. You're a person who's never going to be old. You have like this energy, and Terry has a beautiful figure too. For those of you who, you know, haven't met her, so you know all of that.
I'm almost 102 pounds.
Oh my goodness! Just a little tiny, cute thing.
I got a little skinny. Yeah.
And but your husband, you know, is around a lot. You know, hopefully, you know, this week looks like it'll be better now. I think they realize you guys spoke up, and I think you're not going to have the problem you had where people were kind of ignoring you or not paying attention to what you needed. So that's the better news here.
you know, Cindy, how I'm not thinking of myself. I hope that people respect Debbie in more ways than one. She's beautiful. She's talented. Just hope something happens. And I know she cares about me. Sometimes I wonder too much, but, yeah. Anyway.
Well, Debbie, but right now, Debbie's job for a little while is just to make sure you get well, because Debbie isn't going to be able to go on with her life worrying about you. So just use this time to enjoy each other, rest up. But don't worry, Debbie's career will be going full force too. So she has very good cards. You have good cards. Again, it's a little harder recovery than you probably had hoped for. But your spirit guide.
I feel that the progress I made is fine right now. Having the cellulitis is a little bit scary, and I hope it's cleared up, because on antibiotics, when you go off, who knows. So I do project a lot, but I have to just hold on, I guess.
Hold on. And for our listeners who don't know, cellulitis is a bacterial infection, and it can be quite serious.
It is.
It can't be.
Yeah.
It's not. It's a serious
thing. No, you
thing,
can get septic after it, too.
Right. And it could be not good. So the fact that you two jumped on it, even though maybe people were telling you it wasn't significant or wasn't bad, I've always known when my body has something that needs addressing, okay, when someone might tell me it's nothing, okay, and I've always been correct on it when it was something that really did need medical care.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm so glad that you called in, because I want our clients to, our listeners to trust their own bodies and their own healing ability. And a lot of your body is going to heal itself. The PT is good in terms of what's right for you, okay? PT helps. But again, you have a right to say, no, my body can't do that.
PT.
I know there's certain things I can't do. I can't do deep knee bends. They hurt. I've never had problems with my knees, and I don't want to. And I was a dancer my whole life and kick line and taking good care of my knees. So if that hurts me, I'm not doing it. It's not obviously not good for me. If my knees never hurt me and I do that, then they hurt. No, I don't do that. So
I am
everybody's body is different.
I am following the PT direction on the amount of motion my arm supposed to do. I am extremely conscious of somebody not pulling, pushing, and I don't want to sound like I'm helpless when you say you turn your body to the right, that pulls that left shoulder. That's hard to do, And they say, push yourself.
Do what you're comfortable with. If it's hurting you, if it's too much, just say no. Just say no.
I know. So I'm just telling everybody, I'm only listening to what the PT person is telling me. So my range of motion, I guess that's how it covers it. Okay,
well, I'm
girls.
Glad you called in, and we're going to try to get another caller. We love you, Terry. Thanks. Big kisses and hugs
Thank
to
you.
Cindy. Terry is the most gracious host when you come to her house. She always likes to feed you her delicious food. She makes you feel at home.
I can't wait to have beans.
Right? Because she's Italian. She has to feed us.
I love it. I know.
Oh, good. Well, get some rest. And, Debbie, thank you for sharing, your beautiful mom. And I also want to tell your mom that Debbie does, the readings of my play, because we have our theater company today, together, Tomorrow's Classic Theaters Company. So Debbie usually does the readings first of my plays, and she did one called Way Out, which I just wrote. It's about these two teenagers that don't know where they are and they're lost. And Debbie did it with Van, and they were so good that I had to watch it a few times, and they gave me chills up and down my spine, and they were so good at it. So thank you, Debbie. And she did that when she was tired as could be. And I hope it was a little joy therapy for you, Debbie. I hope it was joy therapy. I hope it was fun.
And I know she was a little bit late at doing your book when she did that voice, but I'm happy that she did it. So,
oh, my goodness.
Come on, everybody.
And people love her voice, speaking voice on the Audible book. So let's plug Debbie Toney's on. She does the Audible book of Confessions of Reluctant Long Island Psychic, and she does a great job of it.
She's a good girl.
Okay, well, Good night, Debbie and Terry.
Thank you, Cindy.
Nicole, are
thank
you there?
Your
can
time.
You? You're welcome.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you just mute them? Because you know my computer,
yep.
And I don't know why it won't mute, okay?
Yeah,
don't
it's
ask
weird.
Me. Even when I'm the host, it doesn't do it. Like, I thought maybe it's because you're the host and it doesn't do it. I can't do it even when I'm the host. So I don't know what's going with that. You know, maybe it's my psychic ability doesn't let it. It just keeps staying on when I do it. So it drives me crazy. So we
yeah,
do have
weird.
Kristen. And Kristen had called in not too long ago, and
Kristen actually called in about a month ago,
right?
And you know, she called you actually right after the death of one of her soulmates, and obviously I'm sure that you remember what the situation was around that. And basically, now Kristen is asking, you know, do you see another soulmate coming from her? Is her soulmate that is no longer with us going to send her somebody, you know, because she's been, you know, plagued with so much sadness, and she can really use a little bit of joy. She can really use a little bit of happiness. So any info you can give her on the next big step and the next big love of her life would be greatly appreciated. So here we go out to Kristen. Hello, Kristen, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you, Nicole.
She does a good story,
welcome.
Doesn't she? She's the best. Don't you love her? We love her. Now, Kristen, your soulmate who passed seems to be much more peaceful than he was at first. I mean, he's peaceful. He's accepting what he can't change, and he is under karmic obligation to help bring you a soulmate because he knows he's the one 95% responsible as to why this is his statistic. 95% responsible for why you guys didn't work out. He doesn't have his body now, so he doesn't have addictions. He doesn't have any of the stuff that kept you guys from being close. And he's very, very sorry. And he's been trying to do his life of you that pertains to your relationship. And you know, he just said to me this: "Holy shit, I could was fucked up." That's how he said it to me.
Okay, so
that's his quote, not mine, okay? Yeah. And now he would like to bring you a soulmate. It's circling right near you. So, you know, again, it's not easy to always meet people, but are you doing anything also to get yourself out there?
No, not really. I mean, I just try to go out, but not really, no.
Okay, so how is your soulmate going to do this? Is he going to airdrop your lover into your bedroom?
Hopefully.
You know, when you get a job, you do have to, you know, get a degree or something, training, and you have to put out resumes and go to interviews. So it's not so different with love. Do you try to expand your friendships a little bit? Because sometimes it looks to me like if you can meet a few new people, and through those people you might be able to meet your soulmate. You're also supposed to learn how to commune to the other side. The death of a soulmate, soulmates are very telepathic with each other. Are you getting any, you know, messages yourself from him?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Right, and you see the telepathy, and it's on the energy of love that telepathy is able to be the strongest. So do you get a lot from him that he's sorry? Because he keeps saying he's sorry.
I mean, I know he is. But I don't know. I haven't really been seeing sorry messages. I don't know. I guess I haven't been really keeping my eye out for sorry messages. Just signs I've been seeing. And I don't know, like, what they mean or if they relate to something, you know, because, I mean, I just pulled out, like, a little date calendar that you change the little dates with blocks, and it was his birthday. Like, that, I don't understand what that means.
That means that he's down on Earth, okay, and he's visiting, and he gave you a sign that that's him. When they give a birth date, even if you find a penny that has the year they were born on or the year you met, they're giving us messages just to let us know that they're around. So, you know, he's permitted down on Earth about 100 hours a month. He's around you a lot. He likes music. Please listen to music. get some signs that way from him too. He's actually wanted you to smile when you saw his birthday. Did it make you smile a little bit?
Yeah, it did. I laughed because I knew it was him.
Right. They like get a kick out of you when you get their signs and you laugh. Okay, that makes them happy. Okay, they don't try to make us sad. They don't try to scare us. Mostly, sometimes they're just making us laugh. That's one of the fun things that they like to do. You know, the death of a soulmate is extremely painful, and you guys had already ended your relationship, and you had sort of gone through some of that death of a soulmate different times with him, but that
I
was
did.
Like the death of a soulmate love, okay? And so now the problem is, you know, with a soulmate, we never stop loving them. Sometimes we fall out of liking them on Earth. And, you know, you don't have to stop loving him. You love him with your heart, soul, mind. You really couldn't love him with your body on Earth because his body was pretty flawed. And that's where a lot of the issues resided. So also, I want you to, and this is an assignment that he's giving because his spirit guides have told you to do this. You know, of course, write down the good things about him, but write down the things that weren't good so that you don't make a saint out of him. And as time goes on, no one could walk in his footsteps because we tend to only remember the good things and not. And even when someone has to get over someone, they love my clients, they just keep saying, I want to be with them, this, that, and the thing. And I'm like, you're just thinking of the good things. Let's write down 20 bad things and think about those 20 bad things all this week, okay? So
I do.
Good, because that's when he's getting his life review. When they show him something he did wrong, he does what's called ghosting your mind and makes you think about it. So when you're having these thoughts, he's doing that same part of his review. And sometimes he's just trying to say he's sorry about that. He could have done better. And he's sorry for manipulating a lot of times, you know. And, you know, you were the love of his life. Do you know that?
I do.
Okay. And you're going to have another love of your life.
It's just, I find it just so hard to be able to find someone that had that same, like, comfortability with and just, you know, the features that he had that, like, it seems like it's just so hard to find in people nowadays that it's almost discouraging. Like, I don't think I'll find someone who was, you know, as good as he was when he was good.
Okay, well, that's the thing, when he was good, okay?
Right.
So you want someone who's consistently good, okay? You know, he said when he was good, he was oh so good. When he was bad, he was really bad, too.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, write down the traits about him that you like that were good. And he just said you need someone who doesn't make your life have all this roller coaster ups and downs, someone who's more consistent with you, you know, because he had a lot of ups and downs. Okay, and you know, you will be, you know, granted another soulmate. You're not responsible for the ending of that relationship. And, you know, have you dreamed about him yet at all?
I don't think so. I would have remembered, but it just seems like I don't remember a lot of my dreams. I'm starting to a little, which I appreciate, but I don't remember dreaming about him.
If it's a dream is vapory and you might not remember it, but an astral projection is your soul's going to leave your body. It's attached with a cord and go to a mutual plane where he is, and the two of you are going to really meet. And when you wake up, you won't forget it because it's you visited him. It's not a dream. It's not like a vapory thing that disappears. You'll feel like you were actually with him because you were. And that should be happening soon. So that would probably comfort you greatly, too, to experience that astral projection visitation with him.
Yeah, I could try that. Okay.
He laughs a lot, by the way. He's a funny guy. He's also very polite, by the way.
I know. I love that.
He says, please and thank you to me. He
You know, he said yes, ma'am, to me, but, and I told him telepathically, if you say yes, ma'am, I'm hanging up on you, okay?
Like, yeah, no, ma'am. Oh, yeah, he was like that.
And I sort of just laughing that I said, what a polite guy, you know, good manners, you know. And he's very, he said he's honestly trying to be a better being on the other side. He's trying to heal his issues. He wants to be, when you die a million years from now and come up to him, that he's a man worthy of your visit, is what he just said. Worthy of your visit.
I was, like, just thinking that today. I'm like, I'm not going to be too afraid to die because I have him to look forward to, which...
Right, and he will meet and greet you. He will meet and greet you. And so he just said, though, you have a lot of life left here. Okay, and, you know, he promises to bring you this soulmate. And you'll know it came from him because he'll have some of the good traits and maybe even... have a way of saying certain things or say something just like he would have said, and he'll be like, whoa, wait, you know? So he'll give you signs that it comes from him. And, you know, I'm glad you called in because he said you were very sad about a week ago. And, you know, the grieving process kind of like is like a spiral staircase where some days it's better and then the staircase goes down again and it's bad and then it kind of goes up a little bit and then down again. So the grieving process is hard because then one day you're like, boy, I'm really pretty good today, and then you can't believe how bad you are the next day. But that's the way grieving is. It's not like a steady thing. It's a better and a worse, and you know that's to be expected. But you know he said when you're feeling sad, you know put on some music, listen to it. He'll be there. Maybe watch a funny movie. He'd like to watch a movie with you. And do the simple things that you used to like to do with him. And that will make him happy. And call in again. Let us know how you're doing. And, you know, talk to him a lot because he can hear you. He just loves that, you know.
Okay.
And he said, please don't cry. Because when you cry, he gets really upset. I don't think he ever liked when you cried, because he just said, when she cried, I couldn't stand it. So, you know, try not to do that too much if you can help it, okay?
Okay.
He knows you're still very deeply mourning for him, and that's going to go on. And, again, you're never going to stop loving him. You don't have to. You can love your other soulmate and still love him. You know, it's... you don't have to stop loving at all. And I'm glad you gave us a chance to talk to him again. You made him happy, okay? And he's called you the high priestess. In other words, you're going to be a woman who's going to learn how to commune to the other side. Once you can commune to one soul, you can pretty much commune to any of them. It's the language of telepathy that you start to perfect. That's mind-to-mind communication. And, you know, let him be the one who teaches you that.
Okay. How do I open myself up to something like that?
It's just like ask him a question. What happens is sometimes we ask them and we don't pay attention to the answer. Maybe keep a journal. Maybe you ask him a specific question. And within a few hours, you feel like you got the answer. Then write it into the book. Sometimes you might think something and then all of a sudden have a very clear thought that seems like an answer. Now you could think, well, that's my own mind. It probably wasn't. 80% of our thoughts are our own. 20% come from spirit. All the worry, bullshit, nonsense thoughts, fear thoughts, those are all our own. We can own all of those. But those aha moments, or all of a sudden you know how to fix something that you don't know how you fixed it.
I've made decisions so quickly. I don't make decisions that quickly usually, but it's been noticeable that has been happening to me.
Right, and that's the thoughts that are more positive, the thoughts that move. Even when Terry was talking about she knows her own body, sometimes it's our spirit guides telling us there's something wrong. Okay, and we might think it's our own thought. But Spirit's telling us, no, you need to go to a doctor. They'll also tell us when we don't need. Don't worry, you'll get better. It's better off if you don't go. Do you know what I mean? So it's we have to listen to those thoughts that are not coming from ourselves, okay? And they're never fearful. You know, even if it's, they're trying to tell us you've got to go to the doctor, they don't panic us. They just kind of give us a thought, go to the doctor. It's kind of firm and calm. It's never hysterical. Even my clients who survived 9/11, when they were, you know, when the loudspeakers were saying stay in the building, a lot of my clients heard a voice coming outside of themselves, like their grandmother. Some of them didn't know who it was, but they were saying, no, you're going to leave the building. But you're going to go slowly, you have plenty of time. Take this staircase, go there, plenty of time, no rush. But when they got out of the building, it collapsed within a matter of minutes. They didn't have a lot of time. But Spirit didn't want them to panic or they would have fallen, you know, and slipped. So it was a very calm voice guiding them out of the building. They said it was almost like this sense of peace, as if they were floating down out of the building and totally not conscious of what they were doing, but just kept her go, just keep moving. And they would sometimes hear, take this person over here with you. Get that person. Take them with you. And so these are the kinds of thoughts, even in a catastrophe, will always come very quiet and very, you know, firm. Like, you'll know you got to do it, but it's never like, oh, you got to do it right now. Those thoughts, when we have to do it right now, those are our crazy thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
You know, the panic, you know, that never comes for Spirit, because Spirit never, you know, talks that way. It's very calm. Well, I'm glad you called in. We're going to try to get another listener. Taylor has been cued in the thing. I don't know who she is, but anyway, Kristen, call in again, especially if you're having a hard time. And also, write down some of the messages you get from him or what you see, because I think our listeners love to hear the messages that you get. Or, you know, it just helps confirm what they get, too.
All right. Yeah, I'll do that. Thank you so much, Cindy.
You're welcome. Bye. Okay, so we have Taylor. Okay.
Yes. And actually, this is interesting, Cindy, because Taylor's calling us from New York, and Taylor has never listened to our show before, but she has a very, very good reference. Her grandmother listens to our show and recommended that she call. So thank you to Taylor's grandma for the recommendation. So since this is Taylor's first call, Cindy, we're just going to...
I love Taylor's grandma, okay?
Well, there we go. So Taylor is calling. She just wants something general, Cindy. You know, she, you know, wants to know maybe about her career. She wants a little bit of insight on her relationship that she's had for about 5 years now, on where you see that going. So maybe we can just pull some cards on Taylor and give her a little bit of insight as to what her 2023 holds. Hello, Taylor. You are on the air.
Hi. Nice to meet you, Cindy.
Hi. You too. Well, Taylor, you have 8 wonderful cards. I do an 8-card draw here, and it's very unusual for me to have 8 very positive cards, okay? Career-wise, you got the Queen of Pentacles. You're supposed to make very good money. Are you still in college at this point?
Yes, I am.
Okay, and are you happy with what you've chosen to study?
Yeah, really happy
Good.
With it.
Good, because, you know, career was your number one goal in coming back to Earth, by the way. Career is very important. Soulmate love is also important. You also have the cards of marriage and children in the future. I hope you want kids, because it's showing up here. Do you want children in the future?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind having kids.
Okay, I mean, your career... soulmate love and children were like, let me have my career solid, my soulmate solid, and then I'll think about kids. I'm glad it's not your main thought here. There's very good money showing here. Now, you've been with this person for 5 years. He looks like a very smart guy, by the way. Is he intelligent?
Mediocre.
Okay. Could he do more to, like, get his mind up there? Because you're supposed to be with a smart man. Do you realize you're a very intelligent girl?
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay. Now, is he able to keep up with you, like, with your mind, your thoughts? I mean, is he your intellectual equal?
Not always. No, I wouldn't say so.
Okay, because the man that you're supposed to be is the Knight of Wands, which is a young man that's really smart, and that you got the King of Wands next to it, a man who will stay with you a long time. You know, when we're young, we have more than one soulmate. When we're young, you know, the person we choose when we're young may not be the one we're going to stay with forever. And relationships get evaluated from spirit and in our own being every 5 years. And you're at the 5-year mark. You've never listened to our show, so I'm sure Nicole got a chuckle out of writing 5 years, because we talk about how every 5 years God kind of says sticks it or leave it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't think he'll ever leave you. Do you realize that?
Yes.
Because who's going to leave Taylor? Taylor is beautiful and smart and a hardworking girl in her of her word. So no one's going to leave Taylor, okay? But I'm not so sure you're going to stay with him forever, because he's got to start stepping up to the plate. Now, he's not a stupid guy. Like, you know, he has the potential to do more, but you're much more ambitious than he is. Do you know that?
Like, yeah.
You have bigger dreams and plans than he has. And that might in the long run not be, you know, what you want. How does your family feel about this guy?
Not really. I wouldn't say I'm really close with family, per se. Some.
Okay. But are you closer with your grandma?
Yes. Very close to my grandma.
Because your grandma's like your soulmate friend, right? Your grandma's like your
soulmate
connection, right? You know what I'm talking about? You guys really have that connection. Well, what does grandma think of him?
She likes him. She does. Okay. She does like him.
You know, because he looks like a nice guy. I'm just not sure. You're young yet, okay? So are you beginning to question this relationship?
Yes and no.
Okay. And just see if he can't step up to the plate to be more of the man that you want. Encourage him, because he has the potential, you know, to step up. If he doesn't, that might be a deal breaker in the long run for you. You know, and remember, he doesn't want to leave you. Like, he wants to spend his life with you. So let's hope he does step up to the plate. You have a very good 5-year period opening up. By then you should be finished with school, working. Do you know where you want to live when you finish school?
Probably more south, or maybe like Tennessee-ish.
Okay, because you're from Long Island originally, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But I don't, because I see a bigger move for you. And, you know, again, nothing is bad in your cards. You know, everything looks great. What do you want to, are you studying in school?
For teaching. Early childhood education.
You're going to be very good at your job. You know, really good at your job. So you keep showing a lot of kids in the book. A lot of children in the cards. I'm like, oh, this is more kids than just her. Okay, so that explains it. Yeah. I was like, oh, she's very good with kids. There looks like there's a little bit of anxiety in your cards at times. Do you feel it? Anxious at times? Okay.
Yeah.
It's out of proportion for your cards. In other words, everything looks really good. And then all of a sudden, the second round of cards, there are only 4 worry cards out of 78. I got 4 of them. Okay, out of 8, like, which was out of proportion. The first round was she's got a good career, she has potential for a great love, you know, everything good, but there's a lot of anxiety. And we're going to, I don't know if you listened in the beginning of the show, but we're going to prescribe for you joy therapy. What do you do that's fun for yourself? Do you have things that you just do that recharge your batteries and make you happy?
Not really, no.
Okay, so instead of, like, when you're feeling anxious, let's just do something fun, whether it's watch a funny TV show, get a hobby that's fun, because it's almost like you're genetically prone to worry. It kind of runs in your family, like this worrying, and it's really out of proportion for what's here. And what I got now was the Ace of Wands. You could master some of this worry and anxiety, and that would, you know, make life a lot better. Do you hear the, like, what if thing all the time? What if this happens? What if that happens? What if this? Do you hear that in your head a lot?
All the time.
That's a genetic form of OCD. It's not the kind of OCD that you wash your hands, but it's the worry and guilt form. And it could be, sometimes it gets really bad, like under stress, you're at the age where it's the worst, change. So be a little, maybe do a little reading of the OCD, the worry and guilt form, and behavior modification works for that. You know, just what's on your plate today, there's no bombs going off here today or tsunamis, let me crank it down a couple of notches, let go, let God, one day at a time. And you might be able to master a lot of this, but that's the only negatives I saw on your card was your own worrying, out of proportion for what's here. Well, anyway, we're at the end of our show, and they're going to knock us off in about 20 seconds. Taylor, call in again after you've done a little research of, like, the worry kind of thing and see if it makes sense to you that your worrying is out of proportion for what's really in your life.
Okay.
Okay, and good luck to everybody. Nicole, thank you. I know they're going to shut us off in like 10 seconds. Everyone have a great week.
Thank you so much.
We'll talk next week. Bye, Taylor. Give a big hug to your beautiful grandma for me. Bye.